Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls. We're saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community, for God's sake. Got to give the power back to the people, and the way we do it is to empower you economically with business development, job creation, and service. And that is our mission. We build this show as a business development show, and we have as our mission to create jobs, businesses, and to provide service. And we try to build strong businesses in our community so we can put our people to work. We have a working community, we have a healthy community, we have a happy community, we have a productive community. But it's hard to do that if you don't control the jobs in your community. If the people in the community control the businesses, they also control the jobs. And I hate to say it, it's a sad commentary that we don't control most of the businesses in our own community. Don't you just hate when that happens? You walk in these stores and you kind of see through the cracks of the doors the folks in the back room who are counting the money, writing the checks or not. Sometimes there are no check written at all. They take that money out to somewhere else and spend it. And it's not reinvested back into our community. Now, it's easy to blame the business owners or to blame, you can put blame anywhere you want to. But a lot of that blame just comes from looking in the mirror. Are you supporting the businesses in your community? I'm not going to blame the foreigner who comes into our community and racks up and goes away. He's just trying to make money. But are you supporting the businesses in your community? When was the last time you actually went out and spent some money on a business in your community? And I know you're going to hear people say, well, I didn't really need anything, so I didn't really spend any money. Well, you need something. Now, come on. Now, you know what I do? I'll just support a business sometimes just for the heck of it, because I know if I'm not supporting these companies, sometimes I just go in here and do some goodwill spending. I know this person needs a break. I know this person needs an uplift. I know this person needs something to say, hey, it's not in vain. So I just go in there and drop a dollar or two just to let them know that we're out here and we have your back.
Hey, Robert.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Your mic is a little weak there. Still a little weak.
A little weak.
Yes, sir.
Can you mic me up a little bit?
All right. So you get your mic together there. We got a lot going on today. By the way, this is the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I am Robert Gatewood, your host. You can join in our discussion today, and we will have many discussions today. Go to call 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. Also, go to marketingpulpit.com. Go to marketingpulpit.com. You can also go to Twitter and go to our handle, Marketing Pulpit. You can also go to Facebook and go to Marketing Pulpit.
And don't forget to go to that business directory.
Go to the business directory, and we're trying to keep the money flowing. It's 1.35, whatever the $1 trillion that has gone into the...
Is that much now? That's what they're saying?
Man, that's so much money. There's 190 countries in the world. Our spending power eclipses 160 of them.
But you know what's sad about that?
What's that, Wade?
I kind of came in on the tail end of your opening there. Most of that money doesn't stay in our community for more than 2 hours.
If that long.
And now with all the electronic transfer, it's probably 15 minutes.
It comes, it's gone. Before the thing can get, before the money can get
before the money, you know, before it even becomes real money. It's just computer digits. It never even converts to real money.
And like I was saying, William, if you have a vibrant economy in your community, it takes care of a lot of ills.
That's right.
Teen pregnancy, drugs, kids being idle, violence, shootings. If you have a vibrant economy in your community, a lot of that idleness, when people are doing something productive, they have something to be proud of, to stick their chest out about, then a lot of this other foolishness goes by the wayside.
And it doesn't even matter whether you're in the city or in the rural community, mm-hmm. because even in rural communities where people have created jobs for their families are working.
Oh, yeah.
And if their families are working, like you said, they don't have time to have idle time.
And William has a psychological advantage also. My dad was a sharecropper, and right towards the end of his sharecropping years, he got a small business loan and started a business, a small grocery store.
Right.
And I can guarantee you, I have no stats or psychological evaluations to back it up, but I know for a fact the impact of seeing my dad run a business. Even though he wasn't a very good business owner, he was a preacher, he was a sharecropper.
But just the fact that he put out that effort to run that business,
that's right.
That probably profoundly affected you and the rest of your family.
It affected us in profound ways. And that's why when I think we have these, when you have your good job, that's good, but you also got to introduce your children and the people under your care to some other options.
Because they need to see that. Because I was talking to a friend on my way over here, and I was telling him, the problem is when people see things that appear unattainable, they give up hope.
Yeah.
They see people in their communities that are doing things, if Mr. Johnson has a family repair center, they repair lawnmowers or whatever. If people see that, well, Mr. Johnson was able to do it, I could do it too.
That's right.
But if you don't have that, if all you see is Oprah and Bob Johnson, you're like, oh, man, I can never do that.
Yeah, you're right.
And you just throw in the towel, man, and call it a day.
It's those incremental steps. I heard somebody the other day, I'd never heard it applied to this type of situation, but they call it milestones. We use it in business all day long. When I write up somebody's marketing plan or their business plan,
right.
One of the key components of that is milestones. In other words, that plan may be a year. It could be 5 years.
Yeah, but it's steps.
You got to take those steps along the way.
Steps from A to B. Yeah. You got to take those steps. And the thing, Robert, that I think has really been a failure of, we talked about the civil rights movement a lot on the show over the past year or so. And one of the failures of that movement is that when people stop really progressively going after creating their own businesses and their own opportunities, have you ever heard people who you know as your friends come up to you and say, oh, Robert, you still doing that marketing business of yours?
Yeah.
Are you still doing your computer repair business that you're doing, James? Right. Or I'm still doing my printing business? It's almost as if they're assuming that you're supposed to have failed in those ventures, and they never give you a shot of making a livelihood out of those.
It's like, when are you going to give up that and go get a job?
Get a real job. I asked them, I said, are you still working on that same tab, the same job you had 10 years ago?
And welcome to the show, James. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
So we have in the studio today James Silver, our guest host and computer consultant, and William Maxwell, of course, Mr. Branding, Marketing, Design Guru, and of course, myself, yours truly, I'm Robert Gatewood. The number is 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. I know people have a lot on their mind today, and we always, when we reach these, the marketing show has also become like a historical archive of things that have happened from week to week. And if you don't believe me, just go to marketingpulpit.com and just go through the blog on the homepage. You're going to see stories that, hey, wow, that happened, or the Prince passing, Muhammad Ali, the shootings in Charleston, all these things that have happened, and we've commented on the show. So we're writing history today, as we do every Friday, and we try to make sure that the things that are on people's mind, we have to get out there and give them a chance to comment. It's just going to bring people up to date on what's been happening the last couple of days, and it's just been mind-boggling and overwhelming. We've seen out in Louisiana, the Justice Department is investigating a deadly encounter between two Baton Rouge police officers and 37-year-old Alton Sterling, who died at the scene. I think a lot of people were awestruck when they saw this young man being taken down at a convenience store.
Yeah, it was
sad. He was selling CDs, and somebody called in. The police, they came out, and they manhandled him, tased him, and then shot him point-blank range. And, of course, that had people. And before we could even finish, our mouths were still open from that.
Yeah.
Then we found out in Minnesota, down at Falcon Heights on the suburb of St. Paul, Wednesday night, an officer pulled over a vehicle and fatally shot 32-year-old Philando Castile, who was in his car with his girlfriend.
And
a small child in the back seat. And many people have seen this video, went viral. And really, it's just heart-wrenching. It's like you think your mouth was open over Mr. Sterling, then you see Mr. Castile being laying there in that front seat all bloodied, and the child in the back seat trying to comfort his mom. And then when you think that it just can't get any crazier, then we have what happened last night in Dallas, where shooters killed five police officers during a protest over the violence of the first two incidents we were talking about.
Right.
Sent crowds screaming and scrambling, and they called it an ambush. And they showed at least 10 officers were shot. They're not sure how many people were involved. They still haven't identified the suspects.
Which is always suspicious,
yeah,
because, so, you know, when you have these type of things where it's almost like the pendulum swings left and right.
That's right. So, William, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. If you want to chime in, the number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. Later in the show, I'm going to talk about sales channel partners and how to get people working to bring you customers. Marketing Pulpit, we'll be right back after the break.
There are some people I'm starving today. 1450 WOL.
Good morning.
All right, folks, we're in the second half of 2016.
Already?
Wow.
Can you believe it? We talked about it last...
third quarter, man. I just made my New Year's resolution.
With your second half of the New Year, because the first half is gone, Jack. Quickly, I'm just tell you 10 things you should be doing if you haven't already getting into the second half of the year. One is, do you have a marketing strategy?
A real one.
Yeah, now, marketing strategy, like we talked about earlier, folks, milestones. You don't have to sit down and write a 50-page book. You can jot down a one-pager, just bullet, outline, stick some numbers on it, and go with it.
And attach dates to it.
Exactly.
Real dates.
Because just walking around with it in your head, you get confused, you get distracted, and you need that piece of paper to go back and look at. So I write little mini strategies, and I did one for the second half, because the first half I did okay. Second half I want to do better. So I actually changed some of the numbers from the first half because I've surpassed them.
Right.
So the second half I'm trying to knock it up a notch. Also, number two, come up with a budget. I get people all the time coming in my office. They sit down. I say, well, what kind of budget do you have? And that's a tough question.
And then they get brain freeze.
Uh-oh. I thought when I paid you, that's all I had to do. No, you paid me to help you spend that budget wisely, but you do need to have some money aside for advertising.
Got to.
Doesn't matter if it's $500, $5,000, $50,000. Just say, look, what can I invest in the growth of my company? And look at it as an investment. This is not an expense. Now, it shows on your financial statement as an expense, but I look at it as an investment because you plan to get that money back. And
yeah,
if you're not sure, if you don't feel sure, then that's going to cause you to pause, and another reason why you need to call a guy like me to help you do it. I'm in the door, and some have logos, some don't. William, you know and I know that if you want to be taken seriously now, if you want your company to be compared side by side with these real giants, you must look like you are a legitimate company.
Yeah, you have to look the part.
That's right.
And I always tell people the story of when you're a small business, even if you're working underneath a tree outside, There's nothing stopping you from looking like a Fortune 500 company.
Amen to that.
You're exactly right. All right, folks, also make sure you have yourself a CMS, responsive website. That's a content management system. We're talking WordPress, we're talking Joomla, we're talking Drupal. Those are the big three. Now, if you have a One-in-One, a Wix, a Weebly, those are responsive too, and we can work with those, or you can work with those, but you got to get yourself on a responsive site, something that you can update yourself, and something that responds to the different types of computers, whether it's a smartphone, a tablet, laptop. So responsive does that, and Google is not going to send you traffic to your smartphone if your website is not responsive. Come up with a networking strategy. In other words, get out of the house, get out of the office, get from behind the desk, go out here and rub some shoulders, kiss some babies, do some elbowing.
Especially now that the weather's nice. We don't have the winter to use as an excuse right now.
Get out. You can go to a place like B&I. We talked about them. They're one of the biggest networking groups out here. Go do a visitor's day. Go to one of their visitor's days. Go in as a visitor. You can pick up business. They give you two free.
Right.
I know B&I is probably not going to like me giving away their secret, but their whole objective is having you to come out there twice so they can help convert you. But get in there and get that free elbow rubbing.
Right. And you can also go to meetups.
Meetups, that's right.
There's a lot of things currently available in your community, regardless of what part of the country you're in.
Go to meetup.com. Just type in the search on your topic. If you're an event planner, if you're an attorney, if you're a therapist, there are meetup groups taking place around you tonight.
And they can even go to Eventbrite.
Let me tell you about one that we have on Monday nights.
Okay.
A friend of mine, she has something at Fryer's Ed. It's across the street from Andrews Air Force Base. Every Monday night, about 6:30 in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody, any business owner can come out to that. It's Fryer's Ed. It's on Allentown Road. And,
great.
You know, in Camp Springs.
And that's good, James, because these events, besides meeting, getting potential clients, there's other resources. You can find yourself some subcontractors. You can find partners. You can find investors. You can find staff. Get out, and if you want to grow your business, we were talking about networking and getting partners. The right partners is the best way to grow your business. That's why later in the show we're going to talk about sales partners, how to work with people, get them to send you business, how to find them, and how to keep them sending those customers your way. Number six, get yourself an elevator pitch. I preach this to the people in my building. I had a client this week. I am just so proud. And that's the other thing I tell people. Look, I don't talk about it if it doesn't work. And so that's one thing you can do. You can stick a fork in it. If I mention it on this show, that means I've probably done it myself or I've worked with somebody else who's done it. I had a young lady retain me this week. She works in my building on the fourth floor. I'm on the third floor. I'm going home one night. I just looked at her, just started a conversation, handed my card. The conversation started. I hit her with my little pitch. I didn't give her a lot. I said, look, I do a radio show at Radio 1 every Friday. I'm a business developer. I help small businesses because it's tough out here and people need some help. This lady called me 2 weeks later, William.
Really?
Yesterday, she came by with a check. Get yourself a strong elevator pitch. You don't have to be in the elevator. You can be in the 7-Eleven. You can be in the bathroom. You could be walking down the hall. It doesn't matter. You go to these networking events, people don't want to hear a 15-minute dissertation.
No.
Get it concise, impactful, a call to action. Have your passion, your mission, the problem that you're solving in that 60 seconds, and you will see some strange customers popping up that you didn't spend a penny on. All it took you was 60 seconds. All of a sudden, you have yourself a new customer. Get yourself a social media business page. I don't care if it's LinkedIn. I don't care if it's Twitter. I don't care if it's Facebook. There are some people right now that just don't deal with regular websites. I know we old school find that hard to just fathom. Why would somebody not go to my website? Well, they just don't do it. Okay, I don't write the rules. I just report them. Some of these young folks, they would go to your Facebook business page before they ever go to your website, if they ever go. So you got to have some presence out here in the social media world. If you're not sure, just get yourself a plain old Facebook business page. Take your personal profile and go to that little right button, drop down, says create a business page. Start yourself a page, customize it, put your logo on there, nice cover. And if you need help with that, then of course, I'm glad to help you. Number eight, get somebody to answer your phone. Even if it's not somebody, at least you should answer it. You'll be surprised how many people don't try the second time. people, you know, in contract, they say get three estimates or get three quotes.
Right.
If your name comes up in that three and they're calling around and you don't answer,
you're
or don't
done.
Get back to them,
you
just missed that opportunity.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to answer the phone or at least be able to return that call in 15 minutes, get that, outsource that to some company. Let them pay them a couple of $100 a month or $100 or $50 a month to answer that call for you. Take that note. They can page you while you're out in the field, but you got to answer that phone. And today's people are too fast today. There's
right.
just too many options.
Right. And see, that's the thing that has always bothered me about calling places where people don't answer their phones. Because, like you just said, if somebody doesn't answer the phone, I'm going to the next person.
Yeah.
I don't have time.
I don't either.
To be waiting for you to.
Next day, I'm
yeah.
calling.
I mean, like,
come on.
Like, you're so important and special that I got to wait for you to get back to me on a phone call.
I love you, folks, but you got to call me back. If I need your service, you need to call me back. Like, I want you to call me back in 5 minutes. Now, everybody's
right.
not. Some people are more patient than that. But I'm, like, sitting there watching the clock. Say, look, now, this person has a business. If they're not going to call me, they better have somebody else to call me. And I'm sitting there going into 15 minutes.
Right.
I'm going to the next person.
Yeah, that's how I am, Robert. And the same thing for clients who, if you're trying to do business, don't expect me to call you every 5 minutes.
That's right.
If I call you and leave a message, you need to respond back. Because there's other customers that I got to service, they're going to be more responsive.
That's right. You're listening to the Marketing Report. I have in the studio James Silver, William Maxwell, and I'm Robert Gatewood. I'm Gatewood Marketing. William is with WM Graphics and WM Print Shop. Didn't I just give you a print job, William?
Yeah, man. We just got a print shop job out of here first thing this morning, Robert.
I'm telling you, this
and it's
guy's
gonna be, and it's going to be back to the client on Tuesday. People.
And William done brought me a nice printout of this colorful flyer.
I bought them to prove Robert did a great job. I fixed up everything
All right.
that needed to be fixed.
And see, that's the stuff you can't get from these online companies.
And online companies aren't going to do that.
That's right.
Because,
so.
Like, the file was an RGB file.
You made it CMYK?
And I had to convert it to
see
CMYK.
See what I mean, folks?
And I had to make a slight adjustment so that, as you see in the printout, it's centered.
I was telling the client, you know, the client's... She's chopping around, calling this place, that place. I said, look,
they're not going to do that.
This guy's going to take care of me. That's why when I want it right. Now, sometimes it is they don't have enough money. It is, they have, I just got to go with the sheepish. But if they want it done right, I'm going to call William. Just, that's the way it is, folks. That is the way it is. We don't have to leave the community for quality. Matter of fact, if you
that's
want
right.
real quality, you find somebody you know in your community that knows how to do this job.
That's right.
Testimonies. Get those testimonies. I had a client this week, and, man, she is just spilling over. Pam, pam, pam. She is just jumping out of her chair because we got about 7 or 8 good testimonies, and I gave her this trick, and it worked like a charm. She's just beside herself, pam, pam, pam. That's one of my clients I've been working with recently. Matter of fact, it's the print
that's,
job.
That's the print job. Man.
This woman is doing it, folks. She's doing it right.
And I give her testimonial for she's doing it right, and her piece is going to look nice, and congratulations, Pam. Pam, pam, pam. What's her name again?
Pam. You think her name is Pam? And check this out. I gave her this tip on how to get testimonies.
Right.
You do a survey. You call the folks that you've sold your product to or given your services to and ask them, look, I'm doing a follow-up to make sure we did it right. People will take that call every day.
Right.
Now, if you call them and say, look, hey, I'm just calling to get some quotes from you, they go, I ain't got time for that. I'm busy.
Right.
Make it sound like it's about them. She got those 8 quotes on her website now, and she is just cutting backwards flips, folks. Get those testimonies. Use that approach to get those testimonies. And number 10, get yourself a new advertising channel in 2016, in the second half. Radio, you can advertise on our show. Cable, EDDM, get yourself a new way to advertise to get those customers coming into your shop. Folks, that's our 10 tips today on how to start 2016 second half. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back after the break. This is the Marketing Pulpit.
1450 WOL.
Carl Nelson here.
This is the Marketing Pulpit. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. I did a little, I'm into this social media thing lately. I did a post last night telling the world that when the world goes mad, I need to take up, I needed some escapism. Little George Clinton, I guess. Somebody had a Somebody had a song about escapism. Well, I told the social media world that I play my guitar, I strum my guitar, and I just put a little post out there and told people to tell me how do they escape from the madness, if only for a moment, because we know tomorrow the struggle continues. And I've been surprised this morning at the number of people that have gone in. Some people say they ride their motorcycles, some say they sing, some say they pray. One guy say he hits the golf balls. One say he reads and researches. One guy say he smokes reefer. I admit, Richard, but I didn't inhale. So anyway, folks, that's social media and how you can take that. People will just, sometimes people want to see that lighter side of you. They want to see that you're a real person. And you can go to, also, you can join the conversation. Go to my Facebook page, Robert Gatewood. You can go to Facebook and type in, and if you haven't liked me, go ahead and like me and join the conversation. Tell folks, what do you do when you're hearing about these shootings, police shooting people shooting police? Like, it's like that old song that the Temptation used to have, the Ball of Confusion.
Yeah.
And you want to get away from it every now and then. What do you do? I'll be curious. So go to Facebook and join the discussion at my website, at my personal page, Robert Gatewood. Also, we have in the studio, as every do every second Friday of the month, Mr. James Silver. And he brings us some ways to keep these computers humming and safe. That's the best way to put it, to keep them efficient and safe. And James, what you got on your plate today?
Well, I've been going to a lot of my clients lately, and none of them have updated software on their computer systems.
Hey, stop talking about me, James.
No, I'm saying, you haven't hired me to do your work yet, so I'm not talking about you.
Well, you're working on me. You're breaking me down.
Every time I get to a client's office or a home, I find that their software is out of date. Whether it's Microsoft Office out of date, whether it's Microsoft Windows is out of date, whether it's antivirus software is out of date. But I find every time, and so the question comes up is, why should I update this software?
Good question. Good.
So the answer to this, the why you should update it.
Hey, look, James, I know you're proud to hear this. The version I have on there now is working just fine. Why do I need to mess with something that's already working?
The hackers know that there are vulnerabilities in the current versions of your software, whatever it is.
Hackers. That sounds like hackers. That sounds like something that's been in the news lately.
Mm-hmm. The hackers know that Microsoft X, whatever the program is, has vulnerabilities. A vulnerability is a flaw or a problem with their program.
Or a backdoor, as they call it.
Or a backdoor. And so these hackers know how to go in there and exploit those backdoors, those flaws in the software. So if you don't have these updates or these patches done, then you are susceptible to all kinds of problems on the computers. They only call me. Many times they call me after they have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
After they have a problem. They're using what we refer to in the industry as a break-fix analogy. Where it breaks, I come out and fix it.
Right.
So when the software is outdated, and many times it could be outdated by not just months, it could be outdated by years. I've gone to people's office and found that the antivirus software is dated 2014.
Okay.
We're in 2016 now. Mm-hmm. In the second half of 2016, as Robert so eloquently pointed out earlier, second half, and they got outdated software. So that means that anybody who wants to put a piece of software on their computer could damage their computer system. And so many times you go to these websites, and some of these websites have not patched their software on their websites.
Right.
And when you go there, you and your software is not patched, their software puts code onto your PC. And then it exports what's on your computer. So it can actually get information off their computer for you, name, your address, your phone numbers, your bank account numbers, and these things.
So you can be compromised.
You are being compromised.
Sounds like another familiar case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all these things are ways that people said, oh, I don't need to upgrade it. But by not upgrading, you're putting yourself at jeopardy of having someone exploit your computer and use your data use your data to actually go out and maybe get a credit card or apply for bank loans and using your
information.
Believe it
or not, that happened to me not too long ago. Somehow, you know, I was compromised and somebody tapped into one of my cards. And fortunately, you know, we got to the matter quickly and had it resolved. But the scary thing is that when you have so much of your life tied up into different computer systems and things of that nature, it's really, you know, scary when you have all your information and somebody can just tap into it, compromise your information, take your identity, and you're in the hole. You know,
funny you should mention that. And I want to go over a few programs that are most vulnerable in this.
Okay, great.
First program I want to talk about is Java. And everybody said, what the heck is Java?
I'm sure they see that little window pops up all the time.
The cup pops up all the time. You need to update your Java. Well, Java is a programming language developed by Sun Microsystems in 1995. There are a lot of applications on the websites, on the internet, that uses this Java programming language to do animations, do all kinds of things with calculations. Sometimes your bank account may even use that software, but you have to have that Java update. Several years ago, there was because people didn't update the Java program,
right,
there was an exploitation of that software because they knew that you could use it for your bank accounts or your credit card companies.
Wow.
And they was using it, and it was an exploitation of that software. So because of that, Java had to put out more updates. And that's why you keep seeing these updates coming out from Java. That's the number one site that you need to make sure that a program you need to have updated.
Okay.
Second one is the Adobe Flash.
Yep. Oh, man.
Adobe Flash allows you to do animation on your computer system.
Right.
If you didn't have Adobe Flash, you could not run a YouTube video.
Right.
Okay? So a lot of the mobile games use Adobe Flash. So all those kind of things. And then I want to talk about, and I mentioned the word malware. Most people don't understand what malware means, but malware is a malicious software that refers to a type of program designed to infect a legitimate user. Computer and inflict harm on those in multiple ways.
How do you? What the best way? God,
because I feel like a lot of times you can get malware just from opening up somebody's email.
Or open up emails, open up going to the websites. I mean, if somebody else's computer system is infected and they send you something, if you go to somebody's website who has malware on it.
And that's the scary part. You go to these websites. Most people know.
Message will pop up.
Yeah, we know not to open certain email attachments, something that's an executable file you might avoid or from a stranger. But you go to a website, sometimes Google just sent you there. And now Google, thank goodness for Google and these other browsers, they have some type of a warning system now. When you get there, this website is not safe and you might not go there. But then maybe not.
Right. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
So
right.
If it doesn't, and you click on something on their website, and it infects your computer. And that's how most people get the malware on the machines. And then what they say they do, that's when they have to call me to come repair their.
Because sometimes you don't even notice it immediately, because sometimes you think that you clicked the right button and got out of danger.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, a week later, you start noticing your computer's going slower
The button they tell you to click to get out of it is the button that's activating the.
And the hackers know that. Right. And the hackers know that.
Yep.
So there's things that you can do to prevent that. But, the easiest way to, if you get to that point, hit Control Alt Delete and end the task.
Run that one by me again.
Hit Control Alt Delete. Well, if the Mac world is a different one, but in the PC world, hit Control Alt Delete and end that task or end that browser session.
Okay.
And then go back. And sometimes they are so sophisticated now that they will even hijack the browser so that you when you go back to that page, it goes back the same page. So then you got to clean up the browser history so that you don't You don't have that problem.
So is it a good practice? Because I know I do it myself, to, like, empty your cash and clear your history.
Yes.
And stuff like that.
Yes.
Because a lot of people don't know that that stuff stays in your browser.
Yes.
And it will be there. And you wonder why you're getting these pop-up ads and all this other stuff. And that's because all those cookies are there, because most people don't clear their cookies up.
And do you know that there's a lot of people don't even are not aware of the private window you can use. Sometimes when your cache is all jacked up, you got something hanging around, like in Chrome, IE, and Firefox. They got a little over. You click on that right window over there, one of the menu drop down. You can get a private window, and it's cookie free. And sometimes that cache stuff hangs around. You don't know what's going on in your computer. You need a brand new browser. So short of rebooting or starting all over, just hit that, go to a private window.
Right.
And you can, you know, sometimes find a lot about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's a good tip there, too. So those are the kind of things, you know, that people call me about with the spyware. I had one client call me that their browser had been hijacked. And every time they went to that page, every time they opened up Internet Explorer or whatever the browser was, it went straight to this page.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go and fix it.
No matter
what you click, no matter how many exits you hit, that stuff goes everywhere.
And most people think it's a virus. It's not virus. It's not a virus. It's spyware. It's malware.
I mean, I know it's a difference, but what's the main difference between a virus and spyware?
A virus is more destructive. It's designed to destroy your computer. It's designed to destroy programs. Whereas a malware or a spyware program is designed to exploit money or something from you.
Because they can even register your keystrokes on some of those malware and spyware programs.
So the spyware doesn't want to destroy your computer because they're using it.
They're using it.
They're tracking what you're doing.
They want you to keep using it. So
they can find out what websites you go to. They can find out if you're doing e-commerce. They know. That's how they compromise your credit cards.
Let me show you how Facebook is acting now.
Okay.
You go to a Google search and you're searching for a new car.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, ads about the new car lots are popping up in your Facebook.
Mm,
so Facebook is tracking you, too.
That tripped me out every time that happens.
It's annoying.
I went to look at a DSW shoes the other day. I was trying to get me some new gaiters, right?
Right.
And the rest of the day I was on the Internet, these gaiters popping up. Hey, wait a minute. What's going on here?
So they have tracking software built into the Facebook page.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But is there software that you can purchase to block all this stuff out?
I haven't found one yet. Haven't found one yet. You know, if anybody knows of any, please give my office a call. I would love to be able to share it with everybody else.
Yeah, because it gets real annoying, man, because you'll click on a website, just like Robert said, you may go look at a pair of shoes or...
And when I say gaiters, I don't mean gaiters, really. Do people still wear gaiters?
I haven't seen those.
I got some snake skins, but I don't know gaiters.
Some Morris Day if you want.
So when I say gaiters, folks, don't think I'm walking around here looking like the guy out of, what's that movie? The guy with the fish in his shoes.
Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear. Yeah. I am not Huggy Bear, ladies and gentlemen. That's just a term. All right, James, how can folks find out? That's some good information, man. How can folks find out how you can come out and help them with their computer software, hardware, or anything computer-related?
Well, they can reach me via the web at www.jesilver.com. You can call my office at 301-325-1709. You can also reach me on all the social medias. Facebook is facebook.com/sccllc. And I'm also on Twitter and all the other social media, too. But I prefer you just to hit me up with your phone or go to my website. I'll be glad to come out and help you out.
All right, folks, check this brother out. He's good. Go to the Marketing Pulpit website. Also, you can find out more about him and his company. When we come back, we're going to talk about sales channel partners, how to get folks to send you customers. This is the Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break.
WOL Traffic Update is brought to you as a service of Jiffy Lube. Downtown traffic volume on the Suitland Parkway, on I-295 northbound toward the 11th Street Bridge. Then it all thinned out. DC 295 seeing slowdowns each way in that narrow stretch there between Pennsylvania Avenue, East Capitol Street. Southbound delays beginning after Burroughs. Northbound delays after the 11th Street Bridge. Each way in the 3rd Street Tunnel and the long-term work zone near Massachusetts Avenue quite slow into that single file. Northbound delays past D Street and headed up toward New York Avenue, while southbound slows off of New York Avenue down toward Massachusetts Avenue. Beltway Wilson Bridge, outer loop leaving Alexandria, work crew in the local lanes along.
All right, folks, this is the Marketing Pulpit. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls, we're saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community. I am Robert Gatewood, your host. I have in the studio Mr. William Maxwell.
That's right.
James Silver.
All right.
James is here every second Friday of the month. And lots going on today. We have the incidents that's still unfolding in Dallas. If anybody wants to just call in and jump on that topic, the phone's open.
I think CNN just identified one of the shooters.
Did they put up his picture yet?
I don't know if they put up a picture.
Don't you, every time somebody do a shooting, you're always hoping, saying, don't let him be black. Please don't let him be black. Please don't let him be black.
According to the name, looks
like Xavier Johnson,
looks kind of black to me.
Not looking too good for the home team. All right, folks, that's unfolding. It's just been a week of turmoil, and we always like to have this show as a way for people to call in and vent and take out your frustrations. Sometimes you just need somebody to talk to, and we're always glad to serve that role. The number is 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. 7876.
And Robert, we used to use the term on the show, you're not alone.
You're not alone.
And that's the thing that most small business owners have to understand. You need to have a network of small business owners in your corner to be successful as a small business owner, because you need someone who can understand, who has created solutions to deal with the issues and problems that are unique to entrepreneurs.
You need that business group hug every now and then, because it's kind of tough out here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure James can relate, William can relate. I know I can relate. And that's why we have this show as a forum, as a place to we can congregate and talk about these issues that confront us on a day-to-day basis. And the reason we open up the phones to non-related business topics sometimes, like the shootings, like whether it was here or in Charleston, or if it was the death of one of our beloved icons, is because everything is related. Your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, it's all related. And it also, it spills into your business. You can't have a successful business if your mind is not in the right place.
That's right.
And so that's why we come on the show and we talk it out. We give people a chance to talk about it.
Looks like we have a caller.
We have a caller holding. So we'll get the put that through in a few moments. Don't forget to support our sponsors also, Miss BLE, Miss Bernadette Clay.
Miss BLE.
That's what I call her, man. Miss Bernadette Clay over the BLE Executive Suites. If you have, like, if you need an office, I'm surprised how many types of businesses BLE is perfect for. If you're an attorney, a therapist, an accountant, anybody who has, like, a profession where you don't have, like, a zillion employees, just maybe need a good place, a solid place, because they provide the person to answer the phone for you.
Right.
Because a lot of people get an office just so they can have somebody to answer the phone, sit up there at the front desk.
That's right.
They provide that as part of your rent. Some people just want a place to have their mail. They provide that, to have those UPS boxes. So when William sends those big business card boxes and that big UPS box of postcards, they're not throwing them in the bush or leaving that little sticker on your door. There's somebody there every time to accept that package.
To accept that package.
So call them. They have an office now at
National Harbor.
They have a National Harbor office right there at Tanger Outlets, right across from that.
And it's a nice space. I've been over there.
It is really nice. It's really nice. And they also have the one at Largo Center. That's accessible to Bowie, Baltimore, Silver Spring. So check them out at BLESuites.com, BLESuites.com, or you can call them at 301-322-1700. We're going to have a call. We're going to get the call in a minute. We're going to quickly touch on these sales channels. Now, when you're in business, you need a steady source of customers. And that brings up the topic of what we call sales channel partnerships, and it takes on different forms. Now, the ones that we, I'm going to name the ones that we're mostly familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
The first one's a retailer.
Right.
Retailer, we know that. That's what people, you have a product, you put that product, it's listed in that product, in that retailer's offerings under your own brand. It could also be sold through their storefront or their app. The partner usually buys the product from you and stores it at the inventory. They buy it. It's theirs, okay?
Right.
And then they sell it, and then whether they sell it or not, you've already sold that product. And that's what makes a retailer is a harder type of partner to get. You try to go get your product on the shelves of Wegmans or Giant Food or CVS, it's going to be a very, very difficult sale, because I used to be a buyer. I was a buyer for Grand Union Supermarket for many years. And the buyers are just sitting there screening, just looking for a reason not to put your product on the shelf. Now it's you have to almost give them a free slotting case for every store, so it can be very expensive, too.
Right.
So retail is the creme de la creme of sales channel partners. It's the hardest to get into. But once you get there, you don't have to worry about, well, some of these other types of arrangements are a little more tricky. Grocery stores, clothing stores, even Amazon.com. Amazon.com actually buys your book.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that. Once you become a partner on Amazon, they will actually buy that book from you, and then they put it in their inventory, and they pick from that inventory. They can even sell your product across the internationally by going through a retailer like Amazon.com. Another type of sales partner is a referral partner. Okay, now this partner doesn't buy your product. They may sell it through their storefront, their website, or their app, but they don't actually buy it. They might list your product among those of the partner and other companies.
Right.
But you still maintain your own brand. Okay, now, one of the biggest differences between the retail and referral is that in both cases, you're using your own brand, but one doesn't buy your product. They just actually refer. They list your products among their products and other companies, but they don't actually buy it from you.
Right.
They sell your product, they collect the payment, they send you the order, and pays for your order, less the cost and the commission. So they take their commission off the top.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a referral partner. And then the last one is called the reseller. Now, the difference between the reseller and the referral partner is that the reseller might ask you to take your brand off of the product.
Right.
They might do what you call a whitelisting.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I'm going to sell your product under my name.
Right.
And I'm sure you, matter of fact, William and I, we do that relationship sometimes.
Yeah.
It's, look, I need to sell this person a logo.
Right.
But because we have this relationship as a reseller, I'm going to sell the logo under the Gatewood name,
right,
and I'm going to outsource it to Maxwell.
Right.
A lot of that takes place in government contracting. And let me tell you something, folks. Sometimes you can have all three of these going at once.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not with the same company, but in some cases with the same company. I have relationships where I'm a referral partner and a reseller partner with the same client.
Right.
Because it depends on the type of relationship you have. Now, the good thing about the reseller type of relationship is that, once again, that person pays you for that service.
Mm-hmm.
They paid you. So if I go to William and say, look, William, I got a big contract. Now, this person wants me to be the one-stop shop. They want everything done by me. They don't want me sending it out.
Right.
And I will tell them in my contract, this may or may not be done by me, but they want this to be handled by me. They want
They want that one invoice.
That's exactly. They don't want to deal with 15 different people.
They're not messing with all that paperwork. They want one invoice, and they're going to go through Gatewood.
So I will come to William and say, look, William, let's do this logo. I got this client. They need a logo. They need a website. They need a brochure.
They need some printing. Da 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 da.
So William may handle the logo part of it, and then I will bundle that entire package together and sell it to that client, and they will write one check.
Right.
That's a good. Now, my point is, folks, is that you need, as a business owner, you need to be developing these sales channels all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is nothing sweeter than to have one person or company just sitting there sending you business.
That's it.
Boy, that is sweet. Now, what you got to do now, you have to make sure you're treating that person right, though.
Yeah, you got to provide a great service.
Now, here are some general guidelines. Usually, One, first of all the three of these options, they're not mutually exclusive. You may engage in one or more with the same partner. Also, you can move between the types of partnerships. You may go from a reseller to a referral, from a referral to a retailer, and back and forth. So you don't have to, you're not locked into one type of relationship. And that's important to know. Some of the other things you need to know about these partnerships is that don't undervalue the person who collects the money or the importance of that. If cash flow is important to you, that may help you determine which type of partnership you want. Because right. Sometimes you might not see that money for months. So you might not want to be a referral partner. You may want to be a reseller partner or some That's other right. type of partner. Be generous with the partners who have the ability to send you a steady flow of projects. When you're white labeling, pay strict attention to their rules.
Mm-hmm.
Because let me tell you, I love the Gatewood brand as much as anybody loves his brand. But if I have a good partner who's willing to sell my service under their umbrella, I would do that any day of the week.
Of course.
Because that usually means that person's going to be steady. They're going to be sending me work, job after job after job. You see a lot of that in government contracting. Mm-hmm. So, and also, get the terms in writing. Just do a simple reseller agreement. Just spell out the terms, when you're going to get paid, if it's going to be white labeled, if you want me to be in the background and disappear. You can talk about how much contact I should or should not have with that client. Just spell those things out, like they say about fences. Good fences make good neighbors. Good contracts make good referral partner relationships. So, folks, go forward and use these tactics to help you bring those customers in the door. And that's going to wrap up our show for the day. Folks, this is The Marketing Pulpit. We're here every Friday, 10:30 a.m., bringing you the good marketing gospel. And if you want to be successful, you got to do these three things. Do the right thing.
At the right time, and you got to do it right, people.
All right, folks, enough talk. Let's get to work.
1450 WOL.